have your Bible, though, would you join me in the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. And while you're turning, I'll mention that we do a little confession here that expresses our confidence in the Lord and His Spirit in His ability to speak to our hearts. And so we invite all of you online as well to join us as we make this confession here in just a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, let me get there myself, and then I invite you to join me. Words are on the screen. If you agree, would you say it out loud with me? Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. I'll read a few verses here. Finally, my brethren, writing to believers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's really the only way we can be strong. I'm talking about spiritually. Then verse 11, put on, would you say put on?
Put on
the whole armor of God, all of it, so that we may be able to stand against the wiles. That word means the strategies and scheming. It's actually translated plotting in chapter 4, I think it's verse 14. The word plotting there is the same exact Greek word. So he says you got to put the armor on to stand against the devil's strategies and schemes to take you down. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Boy, we always need that reminder, don't we? That our real battle isn't with other people, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There is a battle that rages, though, in the spiritual realm of different levels of demonic powers. Verse 13, therefore, because of that, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, the devil's going to try to make us fall. You put on the armor, you stand, and then we have to withstand so that when the battle is over, we're still standing by the grace of God. Then he says this in verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist, in other words, put a belt around you that's truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel. That means the good news of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. In other words, there are flaming arrows coming at us constantly that the devil shoots of accusation, deception, lies, condemnation, everything he can throw at us. Then he says this, and take the helmet, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. I'll center on that today. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then finally, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This morning, I really want to focus on this one piece of the armor, put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. Would you say that with me? Put on the helmet of salvation. Now, we use helmets today. I guess if you go out on your bike ride or at certain activities, games will be on later today, football players, and they've tried to make improvements over the years in the helmets because they know how they can potentially save somebody's life, really, from when they have such hard collisions and hits that it can damage their brain over the years. And I want to focus more on the spiritual aspect, though, because many of our battles are fought or at least originate in our minds. The mind is that battlefield. Many of our temptations take place in our minds, or at least they originate there, and then they don't always stay in the mind. And this is what I really want to get at this morning. Some thoughts can seem so overwhelming that we make bad choices. Sometimes choices that have no turnaround in this life. And I don't want to critique or come down on anyone who has battled those thoughts. I'm gonna go ahead and admit to you right now, I've had them myself. Thoughts that just seem, these thoughts come to you, and I thank God for his grace that I didn't do anything to act on them. But I thank God, I have had the thoughts that have come to me and said, why don't you just do everybody a favor and just make your exit? Y'all know what I'm saying. I want to be careful because children could be watching. So I'm just thankful this morning God did not leave us defenseless. Thank God. Put on the helmet of salvation. Would you say it with me? Put on the helmet of salvation. I want to make this very practical. So let me give you a few verses in chapter 1 because we talk about salvation. I want you to see what that originally means. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. I'll just read 3 verses here. Verse 7 says this, in him, speaking of in Christ, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then verse 13, in him, in Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel, that means the good news of your salvation. We're talking about the helmet of salvation. So he says, the good news of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. That means where God began, he's going to complete. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. These verses reveal what we call our initial salvation experience. In other words, if you were to ask me, are you saved? I would say yes. And based on this scripture here, we are saved. We receive salvation, in other words, when we believe the good news of how Jesus, the Lord Jesus, suffered and died on the cross, and he rose again the third day to rescue us from the judgment and wrath of God against our sin. Let's make no mistake about that. I know there, thank God he's loving, but he's also holy. And all sin will be judged one day, ours and everyone else's. But it was already judged 2,000 years ago on the cross when our sin was placed on his son. Now, thank God we can stand before him one day forgiven by his shed sinless blood, or we can stand before him as condemned sinners. And my prayer today is every one of us are going to have an abundant entrance into the family and kingdom of God because we, not only that, we're forgiven. His Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. He indwells us. That's why I wanted to sing that song this morning. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside because when I have those thoughts, I need to remember that I'm not alone, but the Spirit of the living God is in me, and he will help me bring those thoughts into captivity and put on the helmet of salvation. So there is the salvation. Yes, I'm a Christian, but brothers and sisters, we've got to put the helmet of salvation on every day in our daily walk because we got the battles and temptations going on in our mind every day. Once we're in Christ, we have access to every blessing that Jesus purchased for us. So in order to stand against the schemes and the strategies of the devil against us, how do we put it on? I believe there are 3 steps here we can take that are very practical right here in Ephesians. So how do we put on the helmet of salvation? Number one, let me read verse 18 again. Ephesians 6:18 says this, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. One translation says, always pray by the power of the Spirit. Always pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's how we put on the helmet of salvation. We put it on because the Bible says all of this armor is to stand in prayer. That's where we really engage in the battle. So we put the armor on in order to stand in prayer. I like to say it this way. Prayer does not inform God of our needs. Prayer, he already knows, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? Prayer does not inform God. Prayer invites God into our needs because I need his help. So I pray. I need his strength. I need his mercy. I need his peace. I need his stability. I need his victory. And that's why I pray, God, I need you. And prayer invites God in. Thank God he is with us and he will see us through. Some of you may be familiar with the definition of the word saved. That is a verb. It means to, we say save, but it means to rescue, to deliver or free, and to heal. It's all the same Greek word. God included it all. So the helmet of salvation is just the noun of that same word. In other words, God gave us the helmet of salvation to rescue, free, and heal our minds. That's good, man. Thank God. I thank God for that. To rescue, to free, and heal our mind with all these thoughts that are coming in. I heard a Catholic bishop, actually I saw it on TV, I don't remember how long ago. It was probably back in the 50s. It was old black and white episode. He talked about in his day how we would have compassion for people with physical sickness, but we didn't have, I'm just telling you what he said now. He said, we don't have the same compassion for people with mental illness. I thought that was a good word because that can be very real. So I'm not trying to get anyone to do anything different. My perspective is always going to be coming from the spiritual. And if that can help in every other area, I believe it can. But here's what we can do. We can take regrets and sins and losses and hurts that have taken place over the years, and we can pull them from the past and put them into our present state of mind. And at the same time, in our mind, we can anticipate future problems and future losses and future just battles and hurts and regrets or even embarrassment. And we can take all that in our imagination that has not even happened yet, and we bring it back and put that in our minds at the same time. And it can be overwhelming. That's why I'm saying it can be. God didn't design us to live that way. That's what can lead us to make some bad choices. I just want to say, brothers and sisters, let's be aware. Put on the helmet of salvation. I got to brag on Jesus here. Just a minute. If you want to just write this scripture down, let me read this to you. It's found in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The Bible says that he's a great high priest. Thank God. And he's gone into heaven for us. He says, hold fast to your confession. He says this, Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus can relate. Would you tell somebody that next to you to say, whatever you're going through, Jesus can relate. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in how many points? In all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When Jesus was in this garden, it's called the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the olive press. They would take a heavy round stone and roll it over the olives to smash the juice out of it. When Jesus was in that place before they arrested him, the Bible says, I want you to think about this, please. Remember what I just said about me taking all of my past mess and all of the future mess and bring it into my state of mind now? Jesus experienced that for me. But wait a minute. He did that for all of us. We can't fathom that. Jesus bore the weight of every curse of sin. And it was like an olive press, and it weighed so heavy on him that blood and started coming out of his sweat glands. If that wasn't enough, the soldiers took him when they did arrest him and mocked him, spit on him, and then made a crown, since he's the king of the Jews, made a crown of thorns and placed it on his head. And if you saw the Passion of the Christ, remember how they took that like a reed and shoved it down into his skull? Where did the thorns come from? Remember when Adam and Eve sinned? God said, "Cursed be the ground for your sake, thorns and thistles it shall bring forth." Jesus bore the curse, even represented by the thorns. In fact, the place where he was crucified was called Golgotha, the place of a skull. Isn't that something? Jesus did all of that for us so that we could have a merciful and faithful high priest, that we can come to him and he understands and he says, "You're mine. Come to me. Come boldly. Don't come arrogantly. Come humbly, but come confidently. I'm on your side. I'm with you. I'm for you. Bring it all to me. I'm going to help you. I've got grace to help you in your time of need." Thank God. Thank God that he did that for us. Let me move on. I'll give you these last two real quick. First of all, so when those thoughts come, how do I put on the helmet of salvation? Pray to God. Tell him all about it. The Bible says, pour out your heart to the Lord. Pour out your heart to him. And then Ephesians 6:17 says this. Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So to pray to God, and then second, is to speak God's word. So pray to God and speak God's word. Would you say that with me? Pray to God, speak God's word. When we speak the word of God in faith, that's what makes it the sword of the Spirit. So would you look at me a second? This, I know what people mean sometimes when we say, "I got my sword." I get it, it's the word of God. But if you want to be real specific about it, it becomes the sword when this truth gets in my heart and I believe it and I confess it with my mouth. What did Jesus do every time the devil tempted him? It is written, and he didn't just think the word, he spoke it. Because there's something about speaking. I like to say it this way: our mouths can influence our mind. So that we speak the word because it will help us and we feel like, "I can't control these thoughts that are coming at me." Speak the word. Pray, bring it to the Lord, invite him in, and then confess God's word so you've got the sword of the Spirit, because the truth of God's word is life-giving, it's comforting, it's strengthening, it's powerful. It's able to do for us. It'll give us hope. If you want to write this verse down, let me give you one more. Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4 says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have what? Might have hope." See, that's what I think. Sometimes people just get to the point where they feel like there's no hope, but there is hope. The Bible says that because Jesus conquered death, we have a living hope. So there is hope. And the Bible hope is not just, "Well, I hope so," kind of wishful thinking. No, the Bible word for hope means confident expectation of good. Confident expectation of good comes from the scripture, from the word of God. So let's not cut ourselves off from the strength and the comfort and hope and patience that the scripture can give us. One more scripture, and then I'll give you the third one. In Psalms 42, actually both Psalm 42 and 43, the psalmist was so discouraged. He was so down, he didn't even know why. And you know how the devil likes to kick us when we're down? The enemy, this is what it says: "Lord, why is this going on? Why are you so downcast, oh my soul?" And he said, "While my enemies are saying continually, 'Where is your God now?' Just when you need him, he's nowhere to be found. So he don't care about you. He don't love you." Those thoughts are not from the Holy Spirit. But he experienced it. Maybe somebody else has. Haven't you heard those thoughts come at you? Where's your God now? So he was had all this going on. And then on top of it, the scripture says, again, if you read it, he felt forsaken by God. He was listening. He said, Lord, why are you forsaking me? Now, that's not the case, but he felt it. And so this is what he says. Last verse of Psalm 42 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? But here's what he did. He spoke to himself. He said, he told his soul, hope in God. Would you say that with me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. He confessed that, God, you're my Savior and you're my help, and I'm going to just command my soul. I've still got a reason to praise. The enemy can say what they will. My emotions can say all kinds of stuff. My thoughts, I don't understand any of it, but I'm going to praise God yet. I'm coming out because my God is ultimately for me. He's with me and he's not against me. And he will see us through. Put on the helmet of salvation. We have to replace the negative thoughts with the life-giving, powerful truth of God's word. So how do we put on the helmet of salvation? Number one, we pray to God, tell him all about it. Number two, speak God's word. And then number three, this is so important, thank God. Thank God. So pray to God, speak God's word, thank God. Would you say that with me? Pray to God, speak God's word, and thank God. And I'll read these scriptures in Ephesians 5, and I'm done. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of verse 18. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. In other words, that the effects of that will dissipate. They wear off. In contrast, be filled or be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. So be filled with the Spirit. How? Verse 19, speaking to one another. This is so important. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20. In fact, would you read this with me? If you'll read off the screen, we'll be on the same translation. Would you read verse 20 with me? Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Giving thanks is both an expression of our faith in God, but it's also an exercise of our faith in God because we don't always feel thankful. That's what the Bible calls a sacrifice of thanksgiving. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name, a sacrifice of praise. So we thank God, but what happens when you exercise the muscles? Get weaker or stronger? It gets stronger. So when we exercise our faith by giving God praise and thanks, even in the midst, you say, but Brother Rocky, I'm not thankful for what I'm going through. I didn't tell you to be thankful for that. I don't know what you're going through. I'm not thankful for everything necessarily. But here's what I can say. Through it all, I can thank God that I know him. I can thank God that he saved me from all my sins and I'm not going to hell. I can thank God that his spirit lives on the inside of me. I can thank God that he's with me and he's for me and not against me. I can thank God that I don't have to face this battle or temptation alone. I've got God with me. And somehow through it all, I can thank God that when it's all said and done and the smoke clears, that it will have turned out for my good and his glory. Thanks to God. It's how we live a spirit-empowered, spirit-filled lifestyle. I thank him for this. Sometimes, in fact, I'll do this often. Lord, I thank you that you haven't given me a spirit of timidity and fearfulness. I thank you that you've given me a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Put on the helmet of salvation. Thank God. I'll close with this thought. The context of the entire book of Ephesians is like this. It's together. Don't you know the devil wants to isolate us when we're in those times? And like Elijah, go hide in a cave and think you're the only one? If you're in the cave mentally today or watching, can I invite you out? And just, would you hear that still small voice saying, I'm with you. I'm not done with you yet. Your life's not over, and you're not the only one. I got plenty of others. And you just come on back and let me direct you and lead you, and you'll see that I'll even use you to make a difference in somebody else's life. All together. We need each other to stand together against the schemes and strategies of the evil one to make us fall. So let me ask you this, I'll close. When ungodly thoughts attack you this week, I didn't say if, all of us, I want to ask you, will you pray and bring it to God? I want to ask you to think about this. What scripture will you speak in those moments? Maybe you would like to focus on Hebrews chapter 4. Lord, I thank you that I come to your throne of grace right now to help me in my time of need. I'm just throwing that out. I don't know. But we need to have that sword ready for the temptation when it comes. And then will you thank God? In fact, I'll say it this way. What will you thank God for in those moments? So will you pray? What word will you speak? And what will you thank God when those negative thoughts attack, those ungodly thoughts? Just remember, God provided the helmet. We must put it on. And he will help us if we would just do our part. Can we close in prayer? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. Lord, we all face these battles in varying degrees, in different areas, but we all need you. You are a good God. Help us to see that, Lord. I pray right now, maybe there's someone who's really going through a battle in their mind, and they've had all these thoughts attacking them. Lord, in fact, could we just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, please? I don't want to do anything to this. Isn't to embarrass anyone. But if you would just say, even today, Brother Rocky, would you pray for me because I've been really battling some thoughts over these last few days or even weeks. And just you don't need to do anything, but would you just raise your hand just right there where you are and just hold, okay. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. You can put your hands down. Father, I lift up my brothers and sisters before you right now. And, well, you know, I've been there, Lord. I want to just stand with them as we come before your throne of grace right now. And we take authority. You said we can capture every thought and bring it into obedience to you. So right now, in the name of Jesus, help us to capture those thoughts. Bring them to obedience to you and say, Lord, we want to do your will. And then help us to replace them with godly, life-giving thoughts, thoughts that give us peace, knowing that you're for us and not against us, a hope. I thank you that to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Help us to focus on thoughts from you, Lord, and then use us as a testimony for your own honor and glory. In Jesus' name.